In episode 575 with Dr. Espen Wold Jensen, we are diving deep. We are talking about quantum science, reprogramming your mind, breathwork, money mindset, deep healing, plus so much more. This is essential listening for everyone.
The Melissa Ambrosini Show.
Welcome to the Melissa Ambrosini Show. I'm your host, Melissa, best-selling author of Mastering Your Mean Girl, Open Wide, Comparisonitis, and Time Magic. And I'm here to remind you that love is sexy, healthy is liberating, and wealthy isn't a dirty word. Each week, I'll be getting up close and personal with thought leaders from around the globe, as well as your weekly dose of motivation so that you can create epic change in your own life and become the best version of yourself possible. Are you ready, beautiful? Hey, beautiful, and welcome back to the show. I'm so excited about this episode because Espen is one of the most beautiful, big-hearted, soft, generous, present human beings I have ever met. I love him. He is so divine, and I'm so excited for you guys to learn more from him today. Or maybe this is your first introduction to him, and if so, I am so excited for you because he is incredible. He is a researcher of neuroscience and quantum physics, a conscious business mentor, a speaker, a quantum coach, a philanthropist, and multiple seven-figure solopreneur, teaching his clients how to use the power of their own consciousness to turn obstacles into opportunities. Now, his story is incredible. I don't want to give too much away, but he went from two broken legs and a near-death experience in hospital to heal himself from the inside out, to become a personal development teacher, loving father, and master of all eight areas of life. Now, he provides his students with the exact same tools and strategies he used to go from humble beginnings to becoming the co-founder and CEO of a multiple seven-figure business while helping over 250,000 students worldwide reach their personal and professional goals. Now, in his signature event, the Quantum Experience, he delivers you the same art, science, and application of consciousness that has transformed the lives of clients in over 12 countries through quantum healing, peak performance, freedom, joy, abundance, and the impact of all eight areas of your life. You guys are in for a treat, my friends. For everything that we mentioned in today's episode, you can check out in the show notes as well as the transcription. And that is at melissaambrosini.com/575. Now let's bring on the incredible Dr. Espen. Espen, you wonderful human, welcome to the show. I am so excited that you are here. But before we dive in, my friend, can you tell us what you had for breakfast this morning?
No such thing. I fast in the mornings. So I had a little bit of organic cold pressed celery juice.
Yum. Delicious, delicious. Well, I am so pumped to have you here. I am feeling so high. We just did a 30-minute breathwork session, which we, I'm sure, are going to talk about. It was so powerful. The physical sensations I felt in my body, the emotions that came up, powerful stuff. I'm a huge fan of your work and especially that session that we just had. Now, we actually met in person a few weeks ago at a business mastermind. And I sat next to you on the first night. And you know, when you meet those types of people where you're like, you were always supposed to be in my life. You are such a beautiful person. You have the biggest heart. You genuinely care. And I am just so grateful that out of 70 people, I chose to sit next to you on that first night at this business mastermind dinner. Like, I'm so grateful. So, so, so grateful. And you were already booked to come on the podcast, but we'd never met in person. And it was just such a gift. So I am so grateful to have you here, to have met you in person, to have had that session with you. You are one of the most beautiful human beings I have ever met. And I am so excited to share you and your work with my audience today.
Thank you so much. There's a lot to live up to. I'm humbled and grateful and smiling from ear to ear. Thank you so much for your beautiful, kind words. And I can't wait to deliver the most epic value to your viewers and listeners. And thank you so much for that introduction and for everyone listening too. This could be an opportunity to change our lives. Who knows? Let's have a beautiful conversation and see where it goes.
Yeah, let's do it. Now, one of the things that you shared with me on that first night that we met was your story of your two broken legs and your near-death hospital infection. And from there, you went to healing yourself from the inside out, and you became a world-leading personal development teacher. Okay, let's back up. Tell us this story, how you got here today doing this work that you now do. Take us back. How old were you? Where were you? Go there.
Sure. Before I do, I'd like to have the listeners and viewers opportunity, if you wish, to tune into something in your life right now that might be of a challenge. Okay? So I'll take you back and I'll tell you the story, but there's a message in the story that I think everyone could benefit from if you were to, even in your mind, think about something in your reality at the moment that's a challenge or an obstacle that you feel is difficult for you. And so if you were with me many years ago, I grew up in a tiny little town called Arendelle, which is where the movie Frozen is actually based on, which is a little fisherman village in the south of Norway in Scandinavia. And I came to Australia when I was 22, 23 years old in 2005. And I had this deep longing in my heart to be learned and to be smart. I grew up with a learning difficulty. I was dyslexic and I still am to some degree. So I can't read or write without spelling mistakes. Speaking, though, I can do in a way that many people cannot. So you know how it is with sometimes we have gifts and other times we need to work on some certain things. When I came to Australia, I had this longing to be smart and to be learned. I wanted to find out what it means to heal, and I wanted to find out what it means to live an incredible life. Because when I was 5 years old, I walked into my brother's bedroom and found him passed away. And 2 years after my brother died, my little sister Katinka was born disabled. And so she spent her entire life in a wheelchair. So as I was growing up, I was obsessed by these two questions. What does it mean to heal? And what does it mean to live? My brother's dead. I want to know what it means to live. My sister's disabled. I want to know what it means to heal. And then as so beautifully the universe would have it, I attracted a major lesson myself in 2006 when I was living in Melbourne. And I crashed a motorcycle, a 600cc motorcycle. I lost control of the motorcycle and broke both my legs. Crashed, hit a tree, broke the tree. Ended up at Royal Melbourne Hospital. After the ambulance had stopped the bleeding, they put 16 different pieces of metal in me. I broke both my legs, fractured my back. And then some weeks later, I was out of the hospital and now spending quite a amount of time in a wheelchair, like my sister, and then got myself back on my feet. A year later, I went back to the Royal Melbourne Hospital to take all the metal out because it was quite uncomfortable. Some of these bits were scratching against tissues when I was walking and all kinds of things. And when I took the metal out, I didn't think more of it until some weeks later when I was sitting at the library at RMIT reading for my anatomy exam, and I thought someone spilled a hot drink on me. And as I turned around, there was no one there, but my jeans were covered in blood and pus. So I went to the doctors, went to swab the infection and send it off to the laboratory, and it came back staph infection. And so for the listeners and viewers that don't know, that's a bacterial infection that eats away at the flesh and does not respond, if at all, to antibiotics. And so then, because they've taken out all of these pieces of metal, including a 45-centimeter rod through my entire right femur, it was a very dangerous situation because if the infection then gets into the bone marrow, the leg is already gone if I'm that lucky. So a year and 2 months after fighting for my life with this infection, I remember I was laid up in hospital at Royal Melbourne again. I had lost 15 kilos. I had a systemic infection. And I did everything that I was told, Melissa. I took all the drugs. I did all the things. And I listened to the sick care system that would tell me that even though this infection doesn't respond to antibiotics, we'll give it to you anyway, just in case. And as I teach now, most people don't know, we have more bacteria in the body than we have cells. And we take strong antibiotics, a broad spectrum of antibiotics over a long period of time, it kills a lot of good bacteria too, which in my case just annihilated my immune system. And I remember I was laid up in hospital and the surgeon walked in and looked at his charts. He looked at me, he shook his head and he said, "We've got two choices." And as I said, I had lost 15 kilos. I didn't have much body fat left on me. I knew in my heart that I was dying. And then he looked at me and he said, "We got two choices, Espen. One, we can cut your leg off. And if we cut your leg off today or now, we can stop the infection from spreading. And naturally, the fear and the thought that came through me was that I would then end up permanently disabled like my little sister. And then the surgeon said, if we don't do that, and if the infection attacks your internal organs, if you get sepsis, well, then you die. And so naturally, I thought, well, then it means that I'll die like my brother. And in that moment, for the first time in my life, something greater than me took over. You may call it, in the neurological sense, a moment of clarity, or in the esoterical spiritual sense, an absolute download, a moment of peace and stillness. And all fear was gone. And I got a message from spirit, and the message was, if it is to be, it's up to me. And I didn't know what it meant at the time, but I knew what I needed to do. So I looked at the surgeon. I said, thanks, doc. He left the room, and I went home to my place in Northcote, Melbourne at the time, sat up on the bed and started breathing. And as I was breathing once and twice that day, and then the next day, I had in my mind that, hang on, I don't know why I'm breathing, but I'm being instructed to breathe. And as I'm breathing, I'm getting goosebumps. And as I'm breathing, the tears are coming out and I'm feeling better. I'm not feeling the fear that I experienced those months and months earlier to that. And the next day I did it again, and I sat up and I breathed. And as I'm breathing, I'm having visuals, memories of finding my brother dead. And that's coming up. And I'm having visuals of my sister being disabled and me being bullied at school because I couldn't read or write well. And these ancient or old memories of traumas of the past, they're coming through, they're coming up as I'm breathing. And I thought to myself, what the F is this? I'm not dealing with those issues. I'm dealing with the physical disease. So they're not the same, are they? And then it dawned on me that within me, there was thoughts, patterns, indoctrinations, traumas, patterns, programs, limiting beliefs, things that I had not dealt with, things that were suppressed into the unconscious mind that was, as I teach now, stealing away my energy, stealing away my love, stealing away my presence, creating thoughts, patterns, and habits, making me do things that I'm not proud of, not because I wanted to, but because I had not healed those traumas. So long story short, Melissa, I had this infection for 1 year and 2 months. I almost died twice in hospital, and the breathwork didn't change my life. It literally saved my life. And as I teach this to my students, I always say, I don't fix you, cure you, treat you, transform you, or heal you in any way, shape, or form. But inside of you, there is a field scientifically proven for over 100 years. This is a field of divine intelligence. And when we learn to call upon that energy that is who we are, there is absolutely nothing that we cannot heal and absolutely nothing that we cannot achieve.
Amen. Amen. I just want that to sink in for everybody. There's nothing we cannot heal and there's nothing we cannot achieve. There is nothing we cannot heal and there's nothing we cannot achieve. So if you are experiencing something physically, we can heal it. If you're experiencing a challenge or there's some goal that you want to hit, we can do that. So the biggest blocks for us is our mind, the stories we are telling ourselves, which are sometimes 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years more of this repetitive story going around and around. How do we break it? What do we do?
That's an awesome question. I'm so happy that you asked that question, because this brings us back to the original conversation that we had before I started sharing my story, which is for the listeners and viewers out there to think about, to remember, to bring to your mind that one challenge or obstacle, difficulty that you have in your life right now, or you might have had in the past. And so let's go there now. I want to ask you a question. And as I ask you this question, Melissa, I'd like to ask all of your listeners and viewers at the same time, and you can choose whichever you believe. There's two scenarios, and neither of the scenarios is right or wrong. It is simply a matter of what you believe. Okay? From that, we'll move on to the next piece, which will put it all together. So here are the two scenarios. Scenario one is for you if you believe that you're only made up of flesh and bone. That means scenario number one is for you if you believe that you are only the body and nothing else. That means that this is a physical universe, and that's it. That's scenario number one. Scenario number two is for you if you believe that perhaps inside of you there is a spirit or a soul, perhaps some sort of consciousness that there is more to you than just the physical. So when you're ready, take a breath and tell me which scenario do you truly do believe is right for you.
Number two. Number two, 100%.
Right. Listeners and viewers, decide for yourself, number one or two. And then I'd like to hear from you, Melissa. What would you call this thing if you were to call it? What are you? Who are you more than just the body?
A spiritual essence. An essence. It's an essence.
Excellent. So let's call it an essence. And some people call it God. Some people call it Jesus, Allah, Buddha, Yahweh, Krishna. Some people call it universe. Some people call it energy. Some people call it whatever, right? And so the scientific name for it, if you're not spiritual at all, and I know many of your people are quite open and aware of the fact that there's more to life than what we perceive with our five or six, if you include thought, senses. But let's go there, right? Let's call it an essence. In science, we call it the unified field or the quantum field, if you want to keep it absolutely scientific and not spiritual in any way, shape, or form. So you choose that name, and the name is accurate. And if you go back over 100 years, Max Planck proved this over 100 years ago when he won a Nobel Prize in quantum physics for proving that there is a field of divine intelligence that actually makes up more than 99.9% of who we are. Now, this could be a bit of a stretch for the mind, but we know it intuitively. And so when I ask these in my rooms, I'll have hundreds of people raising their hands going, I believe that I am, and then they'll write it down. And so if we then look at this from a scientific perspective, where 99% of us plus is that non-physical, non-tangible, which means you can't hold it, see it, and feel it. But 99% of us is pure consciousness, pure essence, that energy, that love, that limitlessness. And less than 0.01%, again, scientifically proven for over 100 years, you look it up if you don't believe me, is physical. Then for me as a primary healthcare physician, this raised a lot of challenges because we were treating our patients from that physical perspective with an extremely limited potential. So what we can do now, to be clear, is as we observe this obstacle, there's two ways to see the obstacle. And the old way is conditioned into us, which asks the question, why did that happen to me? Because if you are the physical, or you believe that you are more, but you're acting as and coming from a place of physical, then what's going to happen is that you're going to think that it happened to you, so you're a victim of it and you can't change it. Now, this is natural to the mind. It's natural to the mind to go, hang on, my brother died. It's easy for me to see a whole bunch of negative things. My mother became an alcoholic. She became abusive. These things happened. I got bullied. I can give you a list of 100 drawbacks immediately. It's really easy because the brain is designed to keep you out of discomfort. But if you were to expand your awareness for a moment and just bring your awareness up to that which you are, that essence, that pure intelligence, and ask the question, how would pure consciousness, how would the real essence of me see that situation? If you are a spirit or a soul or intelligence having a temporary human experience, then maybe it didn't happen to you. Maybe you're not a victim of it. And even if you don't believe that, I think we all can believe that we can change the meaning, but we can't change the past. So then the question is, how is this happening for me? And if you see it from that higher dimensional aspect, from that integral present time conscious, I am that I am aspect, there is no way you will ever look at that again and say, I am this way because of him or her, because you would know that you have been guided by some sort of divine intelligence all the way up until and including this point in time. And when you change the question, you go from, as I say, being a victim of your history to a master of your destiny, because you understand that you've been guided and, if you will, maybe in spiritual training all along. So all we do is to observe the aspects of the past and see it from a higher perspective. And then when we realize that, we could also ask the question, how would love respond? And then, as I say, God never sends great challenges to small soldiers. Now, where if you're looking at it from an energetic perspective, if everything is energy, now that wound is no longer in the unconscious mind, stealing away your presence, stealing away your heart, your mind, your beauty, your opportunity to be with your children in the beautiful state, because it's no longer stealing away or creating a program that you were a victim of something and that you're suffering. It's no longer of a lower vibration, it's of a higher vibration. Now, of course, this takes time, but the first step is to, one, acknowledge who you are. You are that which has always been and will always be. In this life, they happen to call you Melissa. You are the essence of the eternal embodied in temporary time. You are unconditional love, unconditional beauty, wholeness, intelligence, and abundance. And as such, that incident did not happen to you. It happened for you. When you can do that, you can turn fear to fuel and live an incredible life because you've been able to assimilate the energy from a higher perspective.
I love this so much. It is happening for us. But I know in the moment, someone's going through a divorce or a big health issue or financial stress. I know in the moment, it's like you can feel like, why me? And really slip into that victim and really start to feel sorry for yourself. And I know I've been there in the past for sure. So how do we get better and quicker at catching that and reminding ourselves that we are pure, divine, love, godly consciousness? And this is happening for me, not to me. Because I guess the more you do it, the quicker and quicker you get at it, right? The more you catch yourself, the quicker you get at it. But what else? Is there anything else that we can do to shorten that space in our mind from why me to I see the lessons?
That is the ultimate question, because from the point or the time of the incident, the trauma, the accident, the pain, the suffering, until the point where it has been equilibrated to light, if you want to look at it honestly, if you want, from the point of the trauma to the point where you have really in your nervous system dropped into a space of thank you and I love you for that incident, the longer that distance is, the more we suffer. That is suffering. From the point of trauma to the point of transcendence, that is suffering. And the longer that is, the more we suffer. And so the first thing is to realize that, as the author Robert Greene said, emotions cloud reason. And if you cannot see the situation clearly, you cannot respond to it with any degree of conscious control. So in the moment when it happens, we get emotional and then we can't see it clearly. So in those moments, it's about the breath and it's about the groundedness and it's about dropping back into who I am. And then as early as possible, asking the question, how is this happening for me? What am I supposed to learn? What's the lesson in this? And if you want to take radical responsibility for your own development and how you show up in the world, also asking the question, how am I creating this? Okay, how am I creating this? Because the issue, the late great Dr. Wayne Dyer said this so beautifully, we don't see the world as it is, we see the world as we are. And if we're creating that in the reality, it's easy for the lower cognitive brain to say, well, that's happening to me, but it's not. In the quantum physics, we know that everything around us is a projection of our own level of consciousness. And so then if we ask the question, how's this happening for me? What am I supposed to learn? The sooner you can ask that question, the more you can shorten that gap, the more you can indeed heal from fear to fuel, from the pit to purpose. Your mess becomes a part of your message. And you can then return, quote unquote, with the elixir because you've been able to change that from a lower vibration to a higher vibration. So two things. One, ask the question, how would love respond? Ask the question, how is this happening for me? I love having an intimate circle like you, for example, and Nick, and in the intimate relationships and your friends and your family, teaching these principles to them. I teach that to them. This is what I believe. This is what I believe. This is how I want to go about it. So when I'm challenged, when I'm going through a difficult time, please remind me, how would love respond? What am I supposed to learn? How is this happening for me? How is this bringing me closer to my purpose? And or how can I act in this moment to bring me closer to the purpose? And the more you do this through the science of neuroplasticity, the more we're going to shorten the gap. And now I find myself, depending on the amount of emotion, like the stronger the emotional quotient, the more clouded the reason. But in most instances now, when I'm going through a challenge, which I had quite a big one not long ago, I'm able to center myself and ask these questions. And I grab a pen and I journal. Okay. What if this asshole antagonist is an angel in disguise? What if this is the lesson that I needed to see to make the appropriate decision to get to where I'm going to go? So these are some of the things that I practice. And indeed, as you mentioned, it's like a language. The more we do it, the faster we get at it, and the less we suffer and the more beauty we can experience as well.
But this requires 100% people taking responsibility. And why do people not want to take responsibility and do the work? Because imagine a world where everyone just took responsibility for how they were showing up. Imagine how different things would be. So that's too big for a lot of people. They don't want to take responsibility. They would rather hand it over to a doctor or to someone else. What's going on there?
This is a great question, and I think it's quite individual depending on the person. But in general, we have a thing in the brain. It's actually hardwired into our brain. It's called the hindbrain or the reptilian brain. Hundreds of thousands of years ago, when we used to live in caves, this hindbrain kept us alive. And still to this day, it's hardwired literally to do the same, to keep us alive. And this hindbrain has one primary filter, and it's continuously on the lookout for something that you don't even know that it's looking for. And that's a thing called discomfort. And it's continuously trying to get you out of discomfort. Let me give you some examples. Let's say hundreds of thousands of years ago, we lived in caves. Being cold could have meant that we freeze to death. Being hungry could have meant that we starve to death. And so then back then, this was needed to keep us alive. But I think it's fair to say that in countries like Australia and America and many other countries around the world, being uncomfortable today does not mean death. In fact, it's often the other way around. A little bit uncomfortable. Okay, I need to have a conversation with my loved ones. Oh, no, hang on. Give me a couple of hours on Instagram. Hang on, I need to purify my body. I need to cleanse my body. Ah, that's all right. I'll do it next month. Give me some sugar. Give me some alcohol. Now, I'm not passing judgment because I've been there. And my entire lineage of my past are alcoholics. I used to drink a lot of alcohol until I realized how poisonous that was and that I was carrying on the tradition of disease. So I needed, as I say, I love this saying, it ran in the family until it ran into me. I needed to take full responsibility for the way I was showing up and not pass on that to my son. And so when I realized what was really going on and that I had the capacity through decision to take full responsibility and work on myself, I could change the trajectory of my lineage. And I have. And that's not, yeah, good for you. No, that's just my choice. And every person gets to make that choice. But what we have to do here, Melissa, and this is, I'm truth bumping. My entire being is speaking through me when I share this, because you have been, we have been conditioned to run away from discomfort. Okay? Our silo, the discomfort is immediately, it's like, oh, no, it's too hot. Turn the aircon on. And we escape because the hindbrain is still operating. Our hindbrain, our brain is not designed to keep us successful and happy. It's designed to keep us alive. So what we need to do, if we want to be, if we want to heal ourselves, if we want to be leaders, if we want to be a beautiful mom, beautiful dad, to that next level, I know that we already are. But if you want to expand your consciousness, to heal the things that you're experiencing, and to live an even more beautiful life, we have to regularly, deliberately, and with that level of I'm not quitting, we have to lean into discomfort. We have to have that uncomfortable conversation. We have to do the fasting. We have to simplify our lives. We have to say yes when it's a yes and a no when it's a no. And when we lean into discomfort, not just physical, mentally, emotionally, but also spiritually and sitting with what's coming up for us, and we change the question as we did earlier, we truly change our lives. So how come we aren't doing it? Well, you have a filter in your brain that's keeping you alive and you need it. If you're in the middle of the road and the car's coming fast, thank God for the hindbrain, thank God for the sympathetic nervous system, jump out of the way and let the car go past and you will survive. But most people have been hardwired to live in the sympathetic fight or flight or freeze state. And we don't make good decisions in that state. What you do if you understand that leaning into discomfort, don't do anything that's going to put you at risk, let's be clear, but leaning into the stuff that you've been avoiding, that is where mastery lies. And the moment you do and you shine a light onto that darkness or what seems to be darkness, you'll realize that was just a little lesson from the universe for an exact experience that you needed to take that next step in your evolution.
Yep. I guess that's another reason why ice baths, saunas, breath work, all of these things are becoming so much more popular and mainstream, because people are starting to understand the importance of putting yourself in uncomfortable situations, even like a cold shower. It's training your brain. This is why we need to do these things regularly, daily, to train our brain. And it can literally start with an ice cold shower. That's it. It can start there. It can start with having that uncomfortable conversation. Like when you were saying that, I was like, I got a couple of uncomfortable conversations that I need to have, and I've been avoiding them.
Yep. And here's the key. Let me ask listeners and viewers this question, just to really put it in perspective here. Just say yes or no whenever you're listening to this. And if this has been useful, please share it with as many people as you can, of course. Here's the question. When the universe gives you a lesson, let's say your intuition says something, like now, Melissa, you mentioned some conversations that you need to have. The universe gives you, here's the signs, you tune into your intuition, and the intuition says, okay, I need to do something about this. I need to speak to it. So I want you to imagine, listeners and viewers, a situation in your life at the moment where you know you need to do something. You need to have the conversation. You need to speak to the staff member that was out of alignment. You need to do something or act upon something, but you haven't. You've been procrastinating because you have been conditioned to get out of discomfort. Okay? Wait until tomorrow. I'll deal with it next week. Now, if you have then an instance in your life where the universe has given you these signs, your intuition's been kicking in, but you did not do something about it, tell me, does the lesson go away or does it come back?
Comes back just wearing a different outfit.
Exactly. Now, when it comes back, does it come back softer or harder?
Harder.
Mm-hmm. And if you don't do something about it the second time, does it go away then, right?
Nope. It just keeps coming back and back and back until we look at it.
Until we get a Mack truck experience. And so you're exactly spot on. The question, if you want to do this properly, listen to this interview again, pause it, write down the things that we've discussed, write down the questions, how is this happening for me? And write down, hang on, what situations are in my life right now that I need to speak to, that I need to deal with? And again, how would love respond? What am I supposed to learn from this? What is it teaching me? It's all in here for you. But the thing is, as you said, why do we do the ice baths? I don't do the ice bath. I had an ice bath and a sauna this morning. I'm not sitting in the ice going, yay, this is so comfortable. I'm sitting in the ice going, this is uncomfortable. Thank God. Because if I can lean into that and surrender to that, every conversation that I'm having today will be a breath of fresh air compared to what I'm experiencing right now. Conscious people, leaders of their own lives, lean into good stress and everything else becomes a breeze and a flow. And that gives us power. So it's overriding the hindbrain by regular conscious actions, knowing that if we don't deal with it, it comes back and slaps us harder. And it's not from a place of running away or fear. It's from a place of leaning in. Because the essence of your soul, the state of unconditional love, is limitlessness. There is no such thing as fear. You may be experiencing that, but that's not real. So when you overcome it with love, you realize that's all there is left. You truly have the power to change it if you act upon these things and you do it consciously.
Absolutely. I think there's a saying that goes, you get the feather, the brick, or the truck. The first time the universe gives you a little tickle with the lesson, and then it might hit you with a brick, and then it will hit you with a truck. And that was definitely the case for me in 2010. I kept on ignoring, just kept on sweeping everything under the carpet. And it took me ending up in hospital in October 2010 for me to actually listen and to change my life. And I remember laying in that hospital bed thinking, surely God didn't put us here to suffer. Surely that wasn't his plan. Surely that's not the grand plan here. And that was such a big realization for me. I was like, this is not why we are here. We are here to be the fullest expression of ourselves. We are here to be the embodiment of love, or whatever you want to call it. And to give that and share that with the world. And when I had that download in the hospital bed, I was like, you're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. So I want to talk more about quantum science. Okay. How does the quantum field affect the quality of our life and our ability to achieve our vision?
It's an awesome question. The first thing to understand is that it's not out there. Okay? A lot of times people think, oh, the quantum field out there, the void, it's not out there, it's in here. Everything is in here. You don't have to go without when you go within. Okay? So that's the first thing. It's not anything external. It is who we are. We are consciousness. We are a unique fractal expression of divine source in a temporary human experience. DNA, retina, fingerprint specific. Okay? 99.9% of us is connected to the number one law of the 12 universal laws. And if people don't know the 12 universal laws, I would highly advise looking them up. And the number one law is the law of oneness, divine unity. We are one. All right. And only a small fraction of us is separate, as in Yo Melissa Amespe. And so the first thing is to recognize that we are it. All right. So the question is, how does the field affect everything? Well, we are a direct expression and also imprint of the field. So just to be clear, this is not an esoteric conversation. This is a scientifically proven topic. There is a field of divine intelligence, consciousness, universal, whatever you want to call it, that makes up everything everywhere beyond space and time. We exist temporarily in what's called the upper third dimension, which is height, width, and depth. And that height, width, and depth, which is 3D, is lower than what's considered to be 4D or the fourth dimension, which a key aspect is time. So then the body and the temporary experience is subordinate to time. This is the reason why the body will perish after, say, 100 years, but the spirit doesn't die in 100 years. So firstly, recognizing that, as I said, I had a dinner with a surgeon not long ago, and he said, what's going to happen when you die? And I said, I'm not. I won't. And he looked at me like I was a hippie. And I'm like, yeah, you probably got me spot on. It's like, that's so good. He said, oh, I'm going to die. I'm going to rot in the ground. I said, that depends on the definition of the question, who am I? Because you asked me, who am I? And I am that I am. And I'm having a temporary human experience. And so I will not die. My body and my flesh will perish, but I, in the essence of who I am, will not die. And of course, this was a very interesting conversation because I didn't go very far and I was not interested in entertaining it either. But the point is, again, it brings us back to the conversation that we had a few minutes ago. What do you believe? Because if you truly do believe that you are energy, source, and consciousness, whatever you call it, then the question is, how can we live like that? I believe my part of my mission is to bring heaven on earth. It's not to go anywhere or leave or change. It's to simply remove the interference within myself, in my reality, that's stopping me from experiencing that which I am and giving that which I am, which is love, and receiving that which I am, which is love. And so then if we understand that there is a field that makes up the majority of who we are, this is a non-tangible, which means you can't hold it, touch it, and feel it in your hand kind of thing. It's a field of divine intelligence. And that everything we experience, and this is the key, everything we experience around us is a projection, a reflection, a mirror of how we're vibrating, what we're feeling, where we're emanating this energy from in the moment. Everything you need to know is going to be right there. And right now, with so much darkness and things happening in the world, so much chaos, as I say, the dark, the brighter the light, I believe we are, as human beings, toggling on dormant embryonic stem cells, activating DNA, superhuman abilities coming on. We know from neuroscience that we're only using 5 to 10% of our brain. And if that's the case, then what about the other 95? And today you had a bit of a breathwork experience. You tapped into a little bit of that. And moving forward, our students say, I had this supernatural type experience. I cannot explain it, but I know that I was home. And there are methodologies now that are showing people how to, you know, for example, purifying your body. People still don't equilibrate, do the healing on the emotional side. So they still eat and drink the things that are so harmful for them. And then they don't want to be sick and they don't want to do these things, but they haven't dealt with the things on the inside that's making them do these things. And so then it's a long answer, but to shorten it, it's again, the remembrance of who we are. It's the honoring of the sacredness of this temple. You don't have to go through what Melissa has gone through and what I've gone through. You don't have to go through that. And maybe you already have, but you don't need to go through that. If you can start honoring your temple now, speak to yourself in a loving way, honor yourself in a loving way, treat yourself with more care, more compassion, more grace, more appreciation, more acceptance. And know that this body is the only place the spirit gets to live when you really. And I would imagine that a large part of the audience is women, and so is mine. If we really can give ourselves that feminine aspect of self-care and self-nurture, everything will emanate from that space. So it's an inside job as much as it sounds like an outside job.
And so going back to what we were talking about before, about the catching, is there a reprogramming formula you have? Or is it simply catching it, becoming aware of it, choosing to think, this is happening for me, not to me? Or do you have some sort of formula, reprogramming of the mind formula that you can share with us? Or is it as simple as that?
It's both. It's a really great point. The first thing is to identify the belief. As Dr. Bruce Lipton says, what you believe you will achieve, because all of ourselves are listening. And so once we've done that, and we've done that twice already, we've reconditioned that belief. Then the next step is indeed to decide, okay, I want to believe. I choose the framework of believing that I am more than flesh and bone, and I'm choosing to ask the question, how did that happen for me? And you do that repetitively. You could imagine it's like a language, right? We're learning the language of consciousness, the language of energy, the language of love. And we're needing to recondition that in the system because, well, you tell me, how many years has it been since the trauma from 2010 till now? And I know you've worked on it. Maybe someone's trauma was 20 years ago. That means that you've fired and wired. You've conditioned those neuro pathways to believe, to achieve the fact that you are a victim of, or the fact that this was had more drawbacks than benefits. And this has been firing and wiring in the nervous system since the time of the incident until potentially today. So the first step is the awareness. The second step is the decision, which we've made. And the third step is the reconditioning of this process over and over and over and over again to the point where you go, I got it. And the question is, how do you know? And I'll tell you, the body never lies. Okay, if the mental concept is, yeah, it's happening for me, but the body goes, I'm still not feeling good. I'm still not feeling safe. You haven't done the work. It's not completed yet. It's when I call it issues in the tissues. It's when the issues in the tissues dissolve to a point of thank you and I love you. Every part of the experience, that's when you've equilibrated that energy. That's when you've liquidated that. That's when you've got the lower vibrations up to a high vibration and you can manifest from a new bandwidth of vibration. And so there's a lot to it. But in essence, I have discovered a formula. It saved my life. I took 2 years off and ended up disappearing into the jungle in Peru and sitting with the shamans on the earth for quite a while to get this right. And for the last 20 years, I've been researching this. And basically, I have found that there's a direct connection between the chakras, the energy centers in the body that are real. Okay. But no one's taught us how to understand the language. I had to decipher that language over quite some time. There is a direct connection between those chakras and each area of life. It's as if the areas of life is an expression of our energy. And if there is interference inside of us that's stopping life force, kundalini energy, light and love from flowing, it'll show up outside, okay? So imagine it shows up in the body as a psychosomatic disease. It shows up in your mind with the way you're talking to yourself or thinking about yourself. It shows up in your emotions with the way you're feeling. It shows up in your finances. It shows up in your relationships. And all these things are symptoms of unequilibrated or incoherent energy inside of us. So what I do is different to what most people do, which is to look at those areas outside and say, I need to fix these. That's great. There are nutritional aspects you can do and a lot of things that are super useful, but it's cause and effect. Cause is on the inside, effect is on the outside. So what we do is we go through an 8-step protocol of removing the primary interference patterns. So the first one is fear. The second one is guilt. Third one is shame. The fourth one is grief. And the list goes on and on. And after spending 3 days working our way from the lower centers and the lower frequencies up to the higher centers and the higher frequencies, we've been able to pull out some splinters and remove interference. And then we are able to manifest from a very different level of a higher vibration rather than a lower one. So that's the tools and technologies that I've discovered and put it together. So yeah, people don't have to spend 20 years working it out like I did. Yeah. Every 6 weeks or two or 6 weeks or so, I have a whole bunch of people in a room. We spend the whole time, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, either live in person here on Gold Coast in Australia or virtually. And we literally open up the energy and see what's in there and see what was passed on to us and what we're currently experiencing. And every person gets to understand what their greatest fear is right now, what their greatest guilt is right now, their shame. Everyone's got it, some to more degrees than others. But the thing is that those lower frequency emotions are the primary blockages, because there's a lot of them, but they're the primary interference patterns to experience beauty and wholeness because they vibrate at such a low frequency. And because they're in the unconscious mind and we're not aware of them, they repeat themselves on autopilot for another decade or two until we actually bring the attention back within through closed eye meditation and other tools and techniques that we use. And we find them. And again, like we've talked about, Melissa, we change the question from how is this happening to me to how is it happening for me? And when you realize it, you can liquidate, equilibrate that energy and it comes back to, and I want to point this out before I end on this note. People sometimes think that we're going to go somewhere. I'm going to go from a low vibration to a high vibration. I'm going to go from fear to love. I'm going to go from whatever. Yeah, look at it differently. You're not going anywhere. You're coming home because you already are light. You already are whole. There's nothing broken. You're not ruined. But there are levels of interference in your life, in your business, in your money, in your relationship, things that were passed on to you from the imprint period of childhood where you didn't even know why that was passed on to you. It's not even yours. And when you let go of those things, you're not going anywhere. You're coming home.
That's so beautiful. Babe, I want to do the 3 days. I'm in. Sign me up. I am in for the next one. Sign me up. My father-in-law, I feel like I'm talking to him. He has been talking about quantum physics, quantum science. He has been talking about the chakras for decades. When I first met him, he was like, you've got a blockage in your heart chakra. I said something. I can't even remember what I said to him. And he's like, you got a blockage there. And I was like, whoa, I just met you. Whoa, chill. But you would love him. Okay, so when I went over there the other day, he's retired and he actually was a holistic dentist. And when he was working on people, he would be unblocking their energy centers and they would be having full releases in the chair. Like he'd be releasing and unblocking any blockages in their chakras and he'd be talking to them about Kundalini energy. This was like a long time ago, right? And people used to think he was crazy. And he now goes to this local little coffee shop every day. He walks down there. And apparently my sister-in-law went there the other day and she said that they all love him so much and they say he is greatly revered because he just comes in and he just sits and talks to anyone who will listen about this stuff. And he helps them with their blockages and he teaches the person who comes in with this disease how to release it through energy. Like it's amazing. So you are talking my language. I love this so much. You would get along with him so well. But I want to shift gears a little bit. This has been so brilliant so far. Absolutely brilliant. I'm going to go back and listen to this many times. But I want to shift gears to business and entrepreneurship. Now, as I run an incredible program called She Launch, this is where we work with female entrepreneurs to scale their business to six figures and beyond without the burnout. Now, one of the things that I'm always telling them is that as an entrepreneur and just as a human being, like you are your most important asset, which we've spoken about. You need to take care of your temple, which I talk about all the time and we've spoken about today. Now, when you're working with entrepreneurs, how do you help them unlock the power and abundance within them? How do you help them thrive in their business? Does it all come back to this mindset stuff we've been speaking about?
The first step, honestly, and I have to say this, the most important tool that I have applied in my life, apart from the things that we've already discussed, that's the foundation of everything. What you believe, what you want to achieve, and how you go about it in the realm of consciousness. So we've already laid the foundation. The most important tool after that is, honestly, model the masters. I don't advise my clients to go to university. I don't say to my students, you do this, unless you want to be, like you mentioned, your father-in-law, be a dentist. You can't just be pulling people's teeth out. You need to go get an education. But if you want to be an entrepreneur, and I refer to the way we teach it as a soulpreneur, it's not just an entrepreneur, it's a soulpreneur. We're coming from a heart-centered space and we are able to do so in a coherent way. Then we have to find good mentors. My greatest recommendation to everyone listening and watching, if you're a woman and you haven't joined the program, join Melissa's program. Do yourself the favor. Get a coach, get a mentor, get a teacher that is coherent, that is integral. I look at you and I see light around you. And disregard the quantum side, I see a healthy person with clear eyes, strong posture, an open heart, and an incredible message that helps thousands and thousands of people around the world. And so if that's the case for me, I will learn from that. I will pay close attention to how you speak, how you walk, how you teach. And I don't need to try and be a replica, but I will realize that you are the authentic coach and teacher that I'm looking for, that you've achieved some things that I may not have achieved. And if I pick up some of the pieces that you take me through, I know that I can't help but to be successful. So step number one is to get a conscious, congruent coach, get in their circle, stay at their table. Sometimes people need to change tables. If you're sitting, quote unquote, now at a table where people are gossiping and talking about things that aren't going to make you a successful entrepreneur, if they're not wealthy, if they're not conscious, if they're not healthy, why are you at that table? I mean, I know that you love them, I get it, but why are you sitting at that table? What table do you need to sit at to become a successful entrepreneur, right? What table do you need to sit at? What kind of people do you need to have lunch with on a regular basis that are wealthy, that are healthy, that are successful, that are deeply conscious and founded within love? And so the first step is, guys, if you have not done Melissa's program, and I'm not doing this as a pitch, this is not a pitch, this is from my heart to your heart. And maybe it's not Melissa, maybe it's someone else. But go and get around those people, learn from those people, get in their communities. And who knows, maybe in 2-3 years, you've outgrown the coach and you go to a new one. But you will not score the goal to the point that you can if you don't have a good coach and a mentor in your corner. And you all have the awareness to find this person. You know who they are. If you haven't taken the action, take the action now. The universe has already spoken. You know what to do. Okay? So that's the first thing. And I have 4 mentors and coaches in my life at the moment. Sometimes I have 5 and 6. Sometimes I have 2 and 3. But I have mentors in different areas of life. And I ask those mentors to keep my standards at a level that is at the level that the standards need to be for me to succeed in my mission. I can tell you right now, the standards that I had last year are not going to suffice if I want to get to where I say I'm going to go. So it comes with sacrifice. I need to let go, like I have, of the alcohol and the processed foods. And I need to let go of these things that just slow me down. And as I say to my students, I don't call you out. I call you up. Where do you want to go?
I know for a lot of people, and I absolutely agree with you. I talk about this so much about having coaches and mentors. And I have health coaches, business coaches. I have 2 business coaches at the moment. I have relationship coaches, spiritual mentors. I have a sewing coach, a lady who comes and teaches me how to sew. And I'm not afraid. I know a lot of people, there is a little bit of that old story of like, you shouldn't need to ask for help and all of that stuff. Like, let's just get over that. We learn from those that have gone before us. And there's no shame in going, can you teach me how to do X? Because you've done it very successfully. So can you teach me? But for a lot of people, there's that block around money. Okay. And the money mindset is really big. There's a block. I don't want to spend $10,000, $20,000 on this coach or mastermind. So can you talk to that piece?
Okay, I really would like everyone now, if you're listening to this, to tune into what you're feeling when this topic comes up, okay? And just tune into what the emotion is. It could be excitement. It could be, oh, shit, that's me. Yeah, I have been avoiding growth because I have made myself the excuse or the reason that I don't have the money, okay? Whatever it is, just tune into what that is. And if I have your permission, I'd like to actually do a piece for you that's going to bust that right open, okay? And it goes like this. And you may choose to do this now. And if you're driving or doing something else, don't do it now. Go back and listen to this again and do it later. But if you have the opportunity to do it, take a moment and close your eyes. Okay. And we're going to go back in time in our mind's eye. As we breathe, we pull our point of awareness up to above the head. We breathe in one more time, come up to 2 meters above the top of your head. And as you're sitting there with your eyes closed and your awareness of breath, it's as if your point of observation is now 2 meters above the top of your head, looking down at yourself, having a personal development type experience, feeling safe. And as we stay here 2 meters above the top of our head, we go back and we observe from 2 meters above what we were doing yesterday. And the day before yesterday, a week before and month before. And as you say, 2 minutes above yourself, you see yourself going back in time, observing yourself getting younger. Until you find yourself 2 meters above your younger self, observing yourself in the house where you grew up. And suddenly, as you're observing yourself, you remember one of your earliest memories, which is your parents or whoever raised you, having a conversation around the topic of money. What's that first emotion that comes up for you? What are they talking about? Are they talking about something that's stressful or uncertain or fearful? Are they arguing? Or is it love and safety and security and gratitude? Go ahead in your mind now and just name the emotion in your mind. And remember the name of that emotion. Now, as you stay 2 meters above your younger self, go ahead and tell her, tell him, tell everyone involved that everything will be just fine. That they are safe. And as you stay 2 meters above your younger self, say goodbye for now. And you start to come slowly across the timeline again, this time remaining 2 meters above your head, but going forward in time, seeing yourself going through life, getting older. This time, though, fully conscious of your earliest money program. You come forward in time until you find yourself 2 meters above the top of your head with your eyes closed in 3, 2, and 1. And we'll take a big breath in, all the way in. As you exhale, pull the mind all the way back into the body. One more breath, big breath in, perhaps a smile. And as you exhale, pull your awareness completely back into the body and you are back in the body in 3, 2, 1. When you're ready, Melissa, open up your eyes. And if you guys are doing this exercise as well, you might take this moment to write it down. Tell me, what is your earliest emotion around the topic of money?
Stress.
Thank you. 97% of the tens of thousands of students that I've done this with now say exactly the same thing. And this comes back to what's in human psychology or human behavior called the imprint period. And for those listening that have not heard about the imprint period, it's the age of 1 to 7 when you're a child, when the entire reality, the blueprint of reality, how you believe, perceive, and achieve reality is built. It's like the source code in the program. And so the majority of our wounds, patterns, traumas, indoctrinations, and the things that we're experiencing that's standing in our way actually stem from that period, but it's in the subconscious or the unconscious mind. And so, Melissa, what happens for most people is, like I said, 97% of people, they have an ingrained, inbuilt, unconscious program that money equals stress. Money equals pain and uncertainty. And unless we actually go back in time and acknowledge that program, and as I say, most of the people that I've coached over the years, they don't have a money problem. They have a money program. We're living in Australia. I've got a roof over my head. I've got food. I've got clothing. I've got shelter. I'm more abundant than 80% of the world's population. So I don't have a money problem. I have a money program. And I'm the common denominator. I went broke. I was $147,000 in debt before I realized this in 2010. And essence here is, okay, if that, is coming up. I don't want to invest 10 grand, 20 grand. Why not? Whether you're worth it. You know that you deserve it. And come on, don't give me the bullshit excuse that you're not going to make that money back. That is the oldest lie in history. For every dollar you invest into your own personal and professional evolution, 10x will come back. And you know that well. So that's out of the question. So then what's left? I don't actually have money. Well, that's a lie as well. Maybe you don't have enough money. So let's work out why. And I can tell you the primary program for most people, not for everybody, is that money equals stress and pain and fear and uncertainty. You tell me, if something is stressful or painful or uncertain, are you going to call it into your nervous system or are you going to keep it away? You got to keep it away. That's what the brain is designed to do. Keep stress, keep pain, keep fear away. It's called survival. It's hindbrain 101. But now you can reprogram because you're aware, right? And if you didn't have a chance to do this, listen to it again and write it down. And then write down, what does it need to be? If I am love and if money is just energy, what does it need to be? It needs to be beautiful and abundant and coherent and gratitude-based. And so then if you come from that perspective and you know that you're worthy of a world-class mentor, now you don't need to go from here to there immediately, but get a mentor that's at that level. And then in the future, your mentor is going to be at that level and maybe you're going to be at that high level as well. So the objection is real because the program is real. But when you change the program, as you mentioned, you can reprogram it to whatever you want it to be. And then you decide that you are worth it. You decide to make that investment. And you know what? Even if you don't know, like, I don't know if I had the money, reach out to the person and say, hey, listen, I really want to do your work. How can I do it? How can I assist? What can I do? Where can I start? Maybe you're ready to jump straight in, or maybe you're ready to start at a different level. But if you don't make the phone call, if you don't take the action, you'll be repeating the pattern that got you to where you are. So that's my 2 cents worth. And it's really powerful because it gets to observe the program and then it gets to make the appropriate decisions and actions to change the program. Because the truth of the matter is that even if we have a global financial collapse, whatever might happen, you're going to be just fine. You are more than safe, more than guided, and more than protected. There's no need to be in fear around a thing called money that's not even real.
I want people to go back and re-listen to that and just go back again and re-listen to that and go back again and re-listen to that. It's not even real. It's not even real. My friend, what is your definition of success?
I tear up when I think of this. Your success, your legacy is not out there. It's in here. And if you want to be successful, all you have to do is to fully be you. Let your light shine unapologetically. That is success. Everything else will come from that.
100%. What's bringing you the most joy in your life right now?
Being childlike. Yeah, not taking life so seriously. They say that humans take seriously what the gods meant for fun. I took my life seriously for so long. I grinded, I burnt out, 3 major burnouts, adrenal fatigue, stack it, added to the list, like all that. And I still, today, take life way too seriously at times. But I think in simplicity lies freedom. I think if we really take a look at our lives and realize that it doesn't need to be as chaotic and as stressful, and we don't need to take it so seriously. Play, learn from the children. Yeah, play, learn from the children and be like that, not childish, but childlike. It's been one of the greatest gifts in my life.
I definitely feel that energy from you when I'm in your presence. There's so much childlike playfulness that's just radiating out of every cell in your whole body. And like, you are one of those very light people that has a bubble of love that just surrounds you. Like, you cannot be in your presence and not smile and not feel joy and not feel loved and cared for. And that's how I feel when I'm in your presence. That is how I feel. So you're one of those people that actually walks his talk. You are the embodiment of what you teach. I have witnessed it firsthand. And you don't always experience that, but I did with you. You walk your talk. And I love that so much. I love that about you. So speaking of walking your talk, I'd love to hear about your routines, your rituals. Talk us through a quote unquote typical day in your life. I love visualizing what's going on for you each day. Like, what routines do you do? What breath work? I would love to hear from the moment you wake up to when you go to bed. A typical day in your life, but I know no 2 days are ever the same.
Okay. Firstly, today I started my day with this. Time magic.
Oh, time magic.
Time magic. Your book that you wrote with Nick. Yeah. I'm reading Time Magic because I understand that there's only 168 hours of my week and that I wish to be more present and I wish to be more productive at the same time. So I'm learning and studying. The way I start my morning is actually starting the night before. I always say you either live a life by design or a life by default, as we've heard said before. And honestly, this is something, and I hope that you will receive this, everyone listening and watching will receive this with the intention that it is made from and that love and care that it comes from. But it may be triggering. Some of you, seriously, and I love you when I say this, you need to actually start putting yourself first. You have neglected this for so long. You get up when the same times that the kids get up, You rush, you throw together some food, you get them out the house, and then you start your day like that. Do not do that. Firstly, phone is not in the bedroom. Okay? Wi-Fi off at night. Take care of yourself. Cleanse yourself. Do a prayer. Do a gratitude before you go to bed. Okay? Seal your energy, even if it's in your mind, in the highest light, in a restful space, in a peaceful place, even in your mind before you fall asleep. And you will sleep in a beautiful, rested state. When you wake up, you know what you're doing because you've set it up the night before. I don't turn my phone on. So I'm up at 5 a.m. and I start work at 8. Okay? My phone does not go on until 8:05 because the messages and emails, no, distractions. You're here to be present with you in the morning. So if you need to go to bed an hour earlier, an hour and a half earlier, start that now. Give it a try. Give it 30 days. Have your ritual in the morning. I start with water and prayer. It's so weird. We've seen the research from Dr. Omoto out of the power of water. The way you speak to water will change the crystalline structure of the water. Yet people drink this life-giving element and think that it's just water. Are you kidding me? This water that you drink has been through Jesus and Buddha and through the heavens and the earth. And you drink that life-giving element and you don't even consider that it's more than just an element. Infuse the water with love and gratitude. Drink and feel it. Cleanse your body. And then I do a prayer. I take a knee and give credit where credit's due. For a lot of my life, I thought it was about me. It's not about me. It's about being a vessel for beauty and for good. Now, that doesn't mean that I can't express myself, but it's not about me. Okay? So I give credit where credit's due. I pray, and I don't pray in a way of, God, please give me this. I pray in a way, please show me how I can serve. Use me, shine through me today, connect through me today, let love be the way. All right. So after I've done my water and I've done my prayer, then starts my education. I pull a card. I love pulling cards. I believe in pulling beautiful cards and getting a message from the universe as to what to focus on. Then I do my education. Like I said this morning, I'm reading this book, Time Magic. And then I do my movement protocols. My movement protocols. So I'm a biohacking geek, right? My biological age is 30 and I'm turning 42, right? So I'm in excellent state. But it's because I've taken the time to purify my life over a long period of time, primarily dealing with my emotions, because emotions deal and create decisions. So if I heal my emotions, I don't have to make bad decisions. So that's the first step. And then I do my movement protocol. So it's either high intensity interval training, martial arts. I go for a run. I do yoga, Pilates, whatever feels right for me. Lifting weights. I love lifting weights. Really important. Weight training is really important. And I have it all at home. I have an ice bath and a sauna. That's always part of my daily routine, Monday to Friday. After I've exercised, moved, then I meditate and do breath work. All right, so I'm lying on my PEMF machine. I'm charging up every cell of my body while I'm doing breath work. And then I journal for a little bit. And then normally I prepare a beautiful breakfast for my son. And he wakes up with cuddles and kisses and all the playful stuff that we want to do in the morning. And then he has a beautiful breakfast while I drink my juice and just listen to him and fully present with him. And then my nanny comes and picks him up and takes care of the house. And I get to work with my managers, my executive assistant, and delegate all the things that I delegate for them to have amazing jobs and be on a mission that inspires them. And obviously for me not to do the things that I'm uninspired about. And then I start my day. I normally work for about 6 to 10 hours, depending on the day, 2.5 days at the office. I have 3 months off per year, but I also, when I'm on tour, I'll work 12-hour days for 10 days straight. I don't care because I'm so deeply passionate about it. And same thing, go to bed, you're going to put my son to bed, cuddle him, make sure that everything's good, feeling all right, connect consciously out to high-level people that I want to inspire and elevate to help them in their missions, in my intimate friends and intimate circle, and then do a prayer in a journal. Sometimes I read again and go out and do fun things with my friends, depending on what it is. And same thing, plan my next day. Seal myself in light, do my prayer, do my gratitude, and fall asleep in a beautiful, peaceful, restful state.
That's so beautiful. So intentional, so much love, so much joy, so much playfulness. It's just beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. I love it. Okay, my friend, if you had a magic wand and you could put one book in the school curriculum of every high school around the world, what book would you choose? On any topic?
I don't think the book exists. Maybe I'll have to write it. It's a combination of spirituality and education. It would teach our children, and I'm writing a program called Quantum Kids at the moment. He would teach our children the truth, not the indoctrinated thing that they've been told to believe to be true, so that they could become who someone else wanted them to become. But he would tell them the truth of who they are, the truth of love, the truth of truth, the truth and understanding of quantum physics, the basics of understanding universal law, the truth that they're infinite beings having this experience, the truth that they're all here to be a part of something beautiful. Then I would go into the next chapter, which is to help them understand their truest values and what they want to experience. And the school would be something that will be uniquely tailored to each child to be able to fully express themselves within their beauty. So my short answer is, I don't think the book exists. And if it does, let me know. But it would be a book that would give the children the remembrance that they deserve, the curriculum that they need, and a path that would be magical and beautiful, but unknown for them to experience for themselves.
Please write that book. Please write that.
Add it to the list.
Yes.
Yes.
It will happen. It will happen.
Done.
And when it happens, please let me know how I can share it with the world on a deeper level. It needs to be out there. All right, my friend, I have three rapid fire questions for you now. Are you ready?
Yeah.
What is one thing that we can do today for our wealth?
Know that you already are wealth. So it doesn't come from the outside. It comes from the inside. Know that you're worthy. Self-worth equals net worth. Know that you are worthy. And then begin to see it appear in your reality.
I love that. Beautiful, beautiful. Okay, what's one thing that we can do for our health? One thing that we can all start today.
Honor your temple. When you look at yourself in the mirror, see beauty. And even though if you don't think you're beautiful, condition your mind to see beauty. Your body is an absolute temple. 70 trillion cells, 6 trillion actions per cell per second, governed by divine consciousness that is you. See your body as something sacred. Treat it with reverence and respect, because you deserve it, and your choices and actions will be radically different.
Absolutely. Beautiful. And the last one, what is one thing that we can do for more love in our life?
Learn to love ourselves. When you recognize that you are love and you deserve love, and you respond and act based on how you feel on the inside, please give yourself more patience, more compassion, more acceptance, more love, more time, more appreciation. And when you do that for yourself without feeling bad because you're giving it to yourself, you can't serve your children and your community without pouring love into you first. Sometimes mothers and fathers think that it's all about everyone else and at the end I'll put myself out there. No, your children are observing you. They don't do what you say always, but they certainly become like you are. So if you love your kids, love yourself. If you love yourself, you can fall in love with your life and with the world. That is the first step. It's starting in the mirror.
Absolutely. I'm such a huge fan of all of the mirror work and the stuff that Louise Hay was doing so many years ago. I did that. I literally stood in front of the mirror and would say to myself, I love you unconditionally. I love you unconditionally. I love you unconditionally. And I did my reps in front of that mirror over and over again. Mirror work and affirmations, so powerful. So thank you for sharing that.
And may it never end.
Mm-hmm.
May it never end. And here's the key. When you do that, go ahead and do that today. Decide when you've listened to this, go and do that. Stand in the mirror and set the timer for a minimum of 60 seconds and be fully present. Look in your own eyes and say, I love you so much. And hear what comes up. If there is resistance, note the resistance. Don't fight it. But just be aware of it and continue until the resistance is gone and you're tearing up. For the beauty of the person that's looking back at you, because the world loves you. God loves you so much. If you could only love yourself a little bit more, you would realize that. So don't stop. Keep doing that over and over again until you're wholeheartedly filled with love in your being, love for yourself and love for everything else.
So beautiful. This has been so amazing. I want to chat with you for another 10 hours. I could sit here and talk, but is there anything else that you want to share with us? Any last parting words of wisdom?
I think we've covered it. I think the people that have listened and watched this, you can tune into your intuition and know if this is something that's going to serve you and your family moving forward. So I just ask that if this has touched your heart and mind in any way, that you share it with as many people as you can. If anyone wants to hear more about the work that I do, you can look up Quantum Advanced. That's the 3-day event that I do. I also do a 1-day thing called the Quantum Experience, which is both live in person and also virtually. We can spend a couple of hours learning about quantum science, and then I offer you an opportunity to come and actually do the work for the 3 days. So if this has resonated with you, come and hang out with us, chat with my team, ask if you have any questions, and moreover, just tune into your intuition, listen to this, share it with as many people as you can. And I'm so grateful, Melissa, that we get to have these conversations. I felt the same when I met you. I was like, there's a soul sister right there. There's a fellow star being. There's a fellow one on the journey. And so I'm really honored that we get to have these conversations in such an incredible time in the world and share this with people. So yeah, from me to you, to everybody listening and watching, thank you so much for tuning in. It's been an honor.
You are such a delight. You are helping so many people. You are serving so many people. You've turned your mess into your message and your magic. And I'm so grateful. I'm so honored, truly honored to have met you, to have had our paths cross in this lifetime. I'm so grateful. You are serving so many people. So I want to know how I and the listeners can give back and serve you today. How can we serve you?
Be the love. Go out and shine your light. That's it. If you want to come and hang out with us and learn more, you're welcome. You can go to drespin.com and learn more. And moreover, just be you, shine your light, and you're already imprinting the field with beauty. That's it. It's really that simple.
Espen, you are such a light, such a gift. Thank you so much for sharing everything with us today, all your incredible work. I am going to come to your 3-day event. I want to do your 1-day event. I want to do all the things. So thank you. Thank you for being here. I'm truly grateful.
It's an honor and a privilege. Thanks, everybody.
My friends, I hope you got so much out of that conversation. He is such a beautiful man, full of wisdom. Go to one of his events, follow him on social media, and just soak up as much wisdom as you possibly can from this beautiful human. And if you loved this conversation, please subscribe to the show and leave me a review on Apple Podcasts, because that means that we can inspire and educate even more people together. And it also means that all of my episodes will just pop up in your feed, so you never have to go searching for a new episode. Now, come and tell me on Instagram at Melissa Rambrosini what you got from this episode. I would love to hear your biggest key takeaway. Please come and share it with me. And before I go, I just wanted to say thank you so much for being here, for wanting to be the best, the healthiest, and the happiest version of yourself, and for showing up today for you. You rock. Now, if there's someone in your life that you can think of that would really benefit from this episode, please be an angel and share it with them right now. You can take a screenshot, share it on your social media, email it to them, text it to them, do whatever you've got to do to get this in their ears. And until next time, don't forget that love is sexy, healthy is liberating, and wealthy isn't a dirty word.